there was a young boy. He was the youngest in a big family. He had 7 older brothers that were a lot bigger and stronger than he was. His name was David. He loved his family, and he loved God. His father asked him to tend their sheep. He was their shepherd and provided for them in many ways. It was his way of serving the family. His older brothers went off to serve in Saul's army. As their shepherd, he would lead them to places where they could eat fresh grass, to graze, to rest in the cool grass in the morning, in the sun, different times to warm. He would lead them to places where they could drink fresh water to refresh themselves, to rest. Sheep need help. Unlike other animals who provide for themselves in a lot of ways, sheep are different. They're dependent on their shepherd to provide for their needs, to protect them. So David loved his sheep. He cared for them. He spent a lot of time alone out in the fields with the sheep. And he spent a lot of that time with God, talking to God, singing, making music, and worshiping God wherever he was. David loved God, and in that time, he would develop a close relationship with him as he cared for his sheep. And as he cared for the sheep, sometimes they would get hurt, and he would help them. They might get stuck in a ditch, he'd help them out. He provided for them in a lot of different ways, helping them, healing them, making sure that they had food to eat, water to drink. One day a bear came and snatched one away, and David ran after him, and he caught up with them, and he got him with the rod and was able, and the bear dropped the sheep, and David and took off, and David brought the sheep back into the fold. And it continued every day. He brought him back, and he restored him. He helped him to heal and continued feeding them, taking them to water, rescued them, binding up their wounds. He would call and they would follow. They weren't afraid of him. They knew his voice. He would speak and they knew what to do. They recognized his voice and they would follow him and they trusted him. They were grateful as they would graze and drink and help. Another day a lion would come and snatch a sheep. David would go after him. He would get the lion. He would fight the lion and the lion would drop the sheep and take off, and David brought the sheep back into the fold. David loved the sheep. He put himself at risk to protect the sheep. When this would happen, David didn't do the victory dance that we might do, they might see in our society when somebody scores a touchdown or does something big. He gave credit to God, who protected him from the lion and the bear, as he protected the sheep that he was entrusted to. David loved his family. He loved his sheep. David loved God. And he would talk about how God had delivered him. David's time with God was special. He knew God was with him and provided for him. Because David would also spend a lot of time in worship, there was a time where we've shared in the past before, King Saul, who was king at the time, started off to be a good and humble king, but then started to take things and matters into his own hands and go another way, and God rejected him. And there were times that Saul would be tormented, and he would ask for somebody who could provide some comfort to him. He needed music or something, and people had heard David out in the field, and so David was called. And would worship God and play music, and that would bring peace to Saul's soul at that time. We think about times that we have unpeace, right? There was a time when his brothers were at war, and his dad asked him, war with the Philistines, and there was this large warrior giant bully. And David's father asked David to take some provisions to his three older brothers were serving, just to see how they were. The people were very afraid, but David wasn't afraid. So God is with me. And was able to defeat, in God's power, this person. David knew that God was with him, that God had rescued him in other ways and would provide and do this again, and he did. So our passage today is Jesus speaking about being our good shepherd. And let's read. We're in John 10, 11 to 18. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him if he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock, and the hired hand runs away because he's working only for money. He doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this fold, in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have authority to lay it down when I want, and to also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded."
Amen.
So Jesus, we're picking up at verse 11 in chapter 10, but verse 1 of chapter 10 also has Jesus speaking about being the good shepherd. In fact, two other times in this passage, he's already named himself as the good shepherd. The best ever, right? In the earlier passage talks about the good shepherd entering through the gate, the proper way, not sneaking in. In another way, the gatekeeper of God opens the door and lets them in. Jesus talks about being driven by love, and he contrasts the shepherd, the good shepherd, with someone who is a hired hand. Jesus, the good shepherd, is driven to care for us by love, through love. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe that he wants to be the shepherd of our lives, the Lord of our lives? He's driven by love, courage, devotion, care, and compassion. We could see some examples of that in David's life, right? In the way that he cared for his sheep and loved God. Jesus says that he knows his sheep. "I know my own sheep, and they know me." Earlier in the passage, he says that they recognize his voice, and the sheep do. And what's beautiful about a shepherd is a shepherd leads sheep from the front. Like, they follow him, hearing his voice, not pushing them and forcing them like you might see cattle drivers from behind, pushing them out of fear. He's drawing them with care and love and compassion, and he offers that same thing to us. He knows his sheep know him. He knows us, each one of us. And again, by contrast, the hired hand who's there, they're doing a job, but if danger comes, they're not going to put, he's saying, they're not going to put themselves in danger for a sheep. If you have a whole flock of sheep and one gets snatched away, as in David's example, or here a wolf comes and takes one, or it's going to scatter another shepherd, not a good shepherd, any who are acting that way and trying to get people to lead are not laying down and being sacrificial. They're more focused with self-preservation. Jesus, who is our good shepherd, he is our good shepherd, but he offers to be your very own shepherd, and mine too. As David developed that personal relationship with God out Jesus offers us the opportunity in community, but also to develop a one-on-one relationship with him. He loves you. He's driven by love towards each of us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. We think about the voices that we listen to in our lives, in our communities, our workplaces, in school, right? We make a lot of decisions every day, right? We get up in the morning, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? Why are we going to eat? How quick can I brew coffee? Will I do that first? Yes. But we make some of those normal decisions every day, right? But then we get to our workplaces and our schools, or we have a conversation with someone in our home. We have other decisions that we make through the day, too. How are we going to respond to a comment? Are we going to follow directions and do what we're supposed to do? Constantly making decisions. And I ask you, what voices are guiding those decisions? What influences are helping you to make those decisions as you go about the normal decisions of everyday life? Sometimes we can be concerned about the opinions of other people, or what somebody else might think, or somebody else wants us to do something, so maybe we'll agree to do it. But think about that. Reflect on some of those decisions, and as you're thinking about them, what are the things that are popping into your head as you're making that decision to influence that? How often do we listen for the voice of our Good Shepherd? So Eduardo's message last week, he talked about just the beauty and the gift of what it means to be a child of God, his very own beloved child, and it changes everything, right? It changes everything. If you weren't here last Sunday, I encourage you to go online and listen to that message. He talked about anchoring our identity in our relationship with Jesus, in Jesus, finding our identity in him and not what others say about us. He shared about the tendency to, in the absence of data, this was Brene Brown, right? In the absence of data, as just normal human beings, we fill in the gaps with narratives. So we create these narratives in our minds and we listen to the narratives that people have spoken to us, whether they're true or not true, a lot of times not. We can be self-defeating and lose our identity when he offers us this beautiful identity as a child of God, a sheep of his sheepfold. He is our good shepherd who is with us and loves us and who never abandons us. So David, who loves his sheep and his family and God and protected them, sacrificed, didn't abandon his sheep, writes this psalm that we read, that Wendy read for us at the beginning. And on your handout, if you have that, I have both versions. I like, the ESV is the one that like is in my head and my heart, but the NLT also has some beautiful language too, so I provided that for for both of you there. But so David is writing this psalm, and we know David himself was a shepherd, and he knew what it took, and he is writing this psalm in awe, reverence, and confidence in God's presence in his life as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, says David. I shall not want. I have all that I need. What more can I possibly want that he is not providing for me? He makes me lie down in green pastures, rest in green meadows. He leads me beside still waters, peaceful streams. He renews my strength through rest in him, through nourishment, through water, living water, the water of life that he and only he can bring. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, right paths bringing honor to his name. So when we're making those decisions, when we're faced with those things, or someone has said something to offend us, we can go off on them or on social media or whatever, or we can look to God for another way. We can choose to be offended, and the Bible says, Proverbs says, that an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. Like, we can dig our heels in and there's nothing going to move us. Or we can choose to say, God, show me what you see. Show me what you see in the situation. I'm really offended. Or that really hurt. Or that was really unkind. How would you have me respond? Doesn't mean we lay down and let someone step on us, right? But we always have a choice. And we look at the way Jesus interacted with people throughout the Bible. He led with love, always. And that's what he wants us to do. And as our shepherd, he is driven by love toward us. So as David's writing this psalm, it's very personal, right? He doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. But David's saying, he's my shepherd. We all have that choice to make, right? Jesus's words in our John passage today, they're a promise. I am the good shepherd. I won't abandon you. It's in love that I move toward you. I want to be close to you, and I will not leave you. I will protect you. I am with you. As this goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we sang this morning, or walk through the darkest valley, we all go through times that are hard. Sometimes it's a hard day. Sometimes it's a hard season. But what we know in the midst of it is that he is with us. Promises that it's a promise. Will we hold on to that? Will we allow that to give us peace and strength as we walk through our days? I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Right? That's his presence. Miss Jess talked about it this morning. That he's with us always to the end of the age, right? He's saying the same thing in the psalm. He's saying the same thing in the John passage. He is with us and will not leave us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It comforts David to know. It can comfort us to know. He's talking about the rod and the staff. So the rod to fight off predators or enemies that would come. And the staff, like the big hook, should have brought one, right? That can help keep the sheep from wandering too far. Because we can wander, right? We can wander. We can start to feel discouraged and not want to try hard. We get in those moments, and then we start to isolate ourselves. And if you look at sheep, the ones who get to the ends and the edges are the ones that are likely to get kicked off. But he promises he is with us. And he is our shepherd. He's the source of our identity. And he looks at us in love, not shaking his head every time we messed up, because we're not perfect. Even once we come to know Jesus, as much as we try, you know, God, show me what you see, and yes, I'll do this. It's like, I'm still frustrated, and I'm I do that. I do it. I don't, maybe you guys don't, but I do. Sometimes. I try. He goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So even though things may be difficult and hard, things may be pressing in, he still prepares a feast for us, that we can still have joy and nourishment in his presence, regardless of what is happening in our lives. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So oil is used in a variety of different ways. Shepherds use it for sheep. They will put it on their heads to keep pests and things from getting close to their skin, just as a repellent there. David was anointed king, prior to the story that we shared before, and it was also a tradition for the hosts of the banquet to anoint treasured guests with oil. So you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Our cup, the Lord is our portion and our cup, right? Psalm 16, that's from Psalm 16, that he holds our lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Surely, he provides. So our cup, our portion, he is our portion and our cup. And he provides in ways that overflow. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. NLT says goodness and unfailing love, steadfast love, and other versions too, will pursue me. So even though we may be sheep that start to wander from left to right or begin to isolate ourselves, constantly pursuing us, wanting to draw us back in. He wants us both. And we will notice if we'll start looking and listening for ways that he's speaking to us in our lives. The question for all of us is, do we want it?
Yes.
Do we believe his promise that he is with us, that he is the source of our identity, he is our shepherd who will guide us in the midst of our... I get stressed out and I seize control, so I become a little bit of a control freak. Michael's out getting the grill ready, but he can probably attest to that. God has been showing me these many years that I don't have to seize control to have peace. That doesn't usually generate peace, but in the moment I seem to think that it would, because there's something about it. But he offers us life. He offers us protection.
Amen.
So David paints the picture of what healthy dependence on God looks like. So as we begin our days, Lord, you are my shepherd. I have all that I need. I shall not want. I can begin my day saying, Lord, you are Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I hold loosely the things that you give me. I hold loosely the plans that you give me. And I pray that you will guide me and trust me. We have that opportunity when we do it. Jesus came for the whole world, right? For the whole world. He also came for each one of you. Each one. Every single one. In this whole room. I could point every single one and not stop. Is that personal and his love? Is that deep? The end of our passage, the end of our John passage, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back up again. I sacrificed my life so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. So we are in this season after, through Lent, after Jesus' death and resurrection. He's still in, if this were back then, in the time where he is present with his people, showing himself, continuing to teach, continuing to reassure his disciples. As we celebrate that, can we live into that reality? Lord, can you help me see your presence in my life? You promised that you're here. I know that you are. Help me to live like I believe it. It's just a beautiful reminder in this passage, because it's heartbreaking to read the passion story in the Gospels, all that Jesus suffered for our behalf. But we remember that he did it voluntarily. He did it out of love. It was love that kept him on that cross,
Amen.
Taking our sins upon himself. It was love that kept him there. At any point, he could have gotten out of there. But he chose to stay because his love is that deep, and he wants us to be able to walk with him. So this changes everything for us. You're a child of God. He is our shepherd, and he's with us. Will we live it? God, you are good, you are holy, and you are present, and just the depth of your love is more than we can even grasp. But we are grateful for you, and we love you. Lord, as we reflect on your word, may it do what you set it out to accomplish today. For each person here, the nugget for them, the peace that the truth that you want them to know, you know, the shadow of a doubt, no matter what they're walking through, you are with them. Lord, would you help us to be aware in the moment as we are making decisions, as we're responding to things that happen, it might spiral into fear, or sometimes we get paralyzed by that. Lord, would you just help us to take that deep breath and look closely to you and remember your word and look to you. Seek your presence because you're right there with us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the peace that you provide. Thank you for the love that you give so freely, even before we loved you, before we, while we were still sinners, that you came and that you gave and that you overcame. God, I thank you for the ways that you reveal yourself in sweet and individual ways in each one of our lives. Would you help us to be attentive to it and not miss you in the moments? God, we thank you. We pray for our church family, for this community, and for this world, Lord, that your peace and your love and your hope and your strength and your compassion would guide us all our days. In Jesus' name.